There's something about lifting our hands up. It's like, you know, asking the Lord to carry us, right? You know, the little kid wants to be carried. They're going to lift their hands up when they come to the mother or the father. You know, they want to be carried. Lord, we lift our hands up in your name. Carry us, O Lord, into your presence this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, let the Lord be glorified in the message of the Lord. And let the blessing be ours. We give Lord all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Amen. I think we can do better than that. Let's try that again. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I was thinking about when we say praise the Lord, and people say hallelujah. The person that said praise the Lord didn't really say hallelujah. So, if I say praise the Lord, you say hallelujah. I didn't. I'm just asking you to praise the Lord. So, let's try that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now we all said hallelujah. Amen. You know, today I just want to rush through very quickly and see how much of the book of Ephesians remaining chapters I can get, because next week is a very special service and we have something else coming up. The rest of the services this month, by the grace of God, you do not want to miss any service from now on, clear on into the new year. We're going to have some wonderful services. Today, I want to do the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Now, you have to go back and catch up on the series. We went through the first four chapters already, so you have to catch up on that. But today, I want to talk about walking in love. Amen. Amen. You can't hear too much about that. You can hear that particular kind of sermon every day, and it's still good. So, I'm going to try to go through this very quickly, and I do have some things I want to cover. Ephesians chapter 5. You know, it's a wonderful thing to read the Bible when we come to church. Amen? Hello? And not just tell stories. It's a wonderful thing to read the Bible. So, I'm going to read the Bible. So, you read along with me. If you can follow through quickly, I'm going to read it through very quickly. I may stop at some verses and talk a little bit. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. So, I am going to title this teaching, Walking in Love. And we're going to find out that a lot of that's in this chapter has to do with that. Then I'm going to digress a little bit and go into some other chapters in the Bible and show us what it really means to walk in love. And then we'll come back and try to finish up this chapter here. You know, so walk in love, even as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But, you know, just because he mentioned the word love, he's going to set the record straight here. You know, it's not that kind of love in the world. So he's going to give a disclaimer about fornication and uncleanness and all that kind of, you know, fleshly thing. That's not the kind of love he's talking about. You know, so we're going to explain the kind of love. So that's why he says, but fornication, we're not talking that kind of thing. You know, fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even once be named among you as it becometh saints. That is, you know, since we are called saints, remember we talked about we have been called saints, you know, what is befitting of saints? This kind of thing, this other thing, you know, is not befitting of saints. Neither filthiness. I want us to pay attention to this. Filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, you know, all these things which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. Amen. Don't waste your time, you know, cracking foolish jokes. You know, that's not good for a believer. Now, he's going to come back here and talk some more about this uncleanness, and then we're going to go into the real walking in God. Now, for this you know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous, nor, you know, any of these things. See, covetous. He also says that the covetous man is an idolater. Some people may not have thought about that before, but covetousness is idolatry. That's what this thing is saying. Which means, you know, when, you know, somebody, what is covetous? If somebody, if they're not satisfied with what they have, and they are going after, their eyes are on what you with vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light. Walk as children of light. So I'm going to come back in a few minutes after I finish reading all this and come back to talking in love, I mean walking in love and walking in the light. I'm going to bring those two things together. Now, first verse tells us, I mean, first two verses tell us about walking in love. This one is telling us about walking in the light. So we're going to bring it all together. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is all in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, here's a part of how to walk in the light and not to walk in darkness. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But what should you do? Reprove them and rebuke them. Amen. Hello? So you young folks, don't partner and company with all the people, you know, your peers that are doing all the things that are contrary to the word of God. Don't hang out with that stuff. You should rebuke them. Amen. Now, some people don't believe in rebuking, you know, but that's the way you should set yourself apart in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, have no fellowship with those kind of things, but rather reprove them. You know, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. I don't have time to go into all of that. But all things that are reproved, you know, check them out and so forth like that. Abhor that which is evil, go back to that which is good. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. So I'm talking about that light in this unit. And whatever God make manifest is light. Now, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest. And if you are asleep spiritually, you should wake up.
Rivera might end up next year if he ends up anywhere at all as a coach again.
And arise from the dead. And Christ shall give you life. You know, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms. You know. So, when people go to sleep spiritually, if they're not careful, the next thing, they will be dead. You see the progression here. Awake from sleep, arise from death. So don't fall asleep spiritually. This is not the time to fall asleep. Amen. Amen. Those that sleep, sleep in the night, but we are children of the day. So we should not fall asleep spiritually. There's a lot to that. I'm trying to get through this because of the shortness of the time. Now, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming that time. Don't waste your time doing things that have no eternal value. Of course, sure, recreation and some things like that, there's some value to those things. But if you spend all your time on that, you know, and things that have no eternal value, you are not really earning for yourself jewels for the kingdom of God. Now, redeem the time because the days are evil. Now, he also says unto you, say, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine. Yeah. Believers should stay away from that stuff. Amen. Got real quiet in here. Believers should stay away from that stuff. Amen. That's right. You know, don't get into that at all. You know, there's many scriptures that will tell you about that. Now, you know, let's be an example of the believers. But let's be filled with the Spirit of God instead. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit of God, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to God. Did you know that you can actually speak to yourself in psalms and hymns? That's right. You know, those psalms, they are beautiful. You can write your own psalms too. Amen. Yeah. No, it's not all about David, you know. David, he loved the Lord, and the Lord moved upon him, and he wrote those psalms. You know, but you can write your own too. When the Holy Spirit moves upon you, get into the Spirit of God, get into the will of the Spirit of God, and you can write your own praises. You can keep your own praises. You speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual, making melody in your own hearts unto the Lord, giving thanks always unto God for all things, and to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's going to go and talk about the, you know, walking in love in the Christian home, and then I'm going to come back in general. So let me just go through this quickly. Yes, walking in love in the Christian home. Wives, let's see what he has to say. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Now, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Amen? Amen? He didn't say, wives, submit yourself to every man in the world. No, he never said that. Submit yourself unto your own what? Husbands. Praise the Lord. That's the duty of the wife. Submit yourself to your own, not to everybody in the world, but to your own husband, as unto the Lord. That's right. Why? Because the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the savior of the body. Now, if we don't follow these things that he laid out, you know, that's why a lot of Christian marriages are in trouble, because they're trying to do it not the way that God laid out. You have to follow the way that he laid out. Amen. Husbands. Well, okay, verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. So this is the scripture. Praise the Lord. Now, for husbands, love your wives. The admonition to each party here is about the thing that is naturally difficult for them to do. So it's difficult for the women to be submissive when they talk to them. It's difficult for the husband to always love their wives, so that's why he talks to them. So these are the things that they want to do. Love your wives, even as Christ also. You know, now, if you want to compare how Christ loved the church, it's written here. He said he gave himself for it. Amen. The husband also ought to always be able to give himself for the wife. Not only when they're shooting, jumping in front of the gun, but every day. Hallelujah. Help your wife. Praise the Lord. That's right. Sacrifice yourself for your wife. Don't let her be the one that does all the chores and stuff like that. Take care of your wife. Help her. And so on like that. Amen. If you can't even help her in the little things, well, how do we know that you are going to take a bullet for her? We don't know that. So, you know, help your wife already. Hallelujah. And love your wife. Amen. Even as Christ also loved the church. Now, nobody needs to take a bullet for anybody. Like, that was just a figure of speech. Praise the Lord. None of us will be a target for bullet. Amen. The arrow that flies by day, that's bullets. You know, they will not come near you. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But that was just a figure of speech. Now, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify. This is the purpose of Christ. That he might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of water by the word. That's the only way we're going to be clean, folks. Reading the word like we're doing today. That's the thing that brings the cleansing. Amen. And he wants to present the church to himself. Listen to this. That he might present the church to himself. Now, nobody else is going to present the church. No apostle, no prophet, no angel. No. Christ is going to present the church to himself. Amen. Hello? That's right. He will present the church to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So that's the purpose. Then he comes back and talks to men some more. So ought men also to love their wives, as if he hasn't said enough. Men, love your wives. Amen. You ought to love your wives even as your own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And listen to what he's going to say here. No man ever yet hated, you know, his own flesh, nourisheth it, cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. You know, I know I love to cherish my own flesh. But I also love my wife. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, he said, look, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. Now, there's a great mystery here. He's going to explain it. He's going to throw it out there. And then he's going to come back and tell us what he's talking. And then maybe some people will be confused. But listen to this. For this call, shall a man his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Amen. And he that made them in the beginning made them both male and female, folks. Not male and male, and not female and female. Amen. Hello? Male and female. That's a definition of marriage. Christian way. Amen. Husband is a male. The wife is a female. Praise the Lord. Let's not get all confused and tangled up about that one and so forth. I don't know how people got confused about that. It's very straight and clear. Hallelujah. Amen. So when they leave, when the man leaves, naturally the woman leaves her house. So people even bother talking about the woman leaving her parents. So she naturally would do that. It's talking about the man. Let them become their own self. Amen. Start your own family. Don't hang in under your father forever. Leave your father and mother. Start your own thing. Amen. Join to your wife. Hallelujah. But this is a great mystery. A great mystery. But he said, I'm speaking. So, I mean, it's not really a mystery too much for a man to be married to a woman. It's a mystery that they will become one flesh. That's a mystery. But in his talking, he goes beyond and said, look, I'm actually talking about Christ and the church. You know, how that Christ and the church can be one. Wow. Amen. You know, Jesus, this is one of the reasons why they killed him. And he came in and said, I am my father, I am one. They took up stones. And from that time, he wanted to kill him. But, you know, but the Lord, he also prayed for us in John 17 at the end there. He was saying, look, Lord, I pray that they also be one as we are one. And that's his plan for the body of Christ. And we, the body of Christ, we are united with Christ. Because Christ is the head. The head is not complete without the body. Amen. Amen. Neither is the body complete without the head. So that Christ is the head, and we are the body, and members in particular. Now, nevertheless, let every one of you, he's talking to the man now, in particular, so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she reverence her husband. Praise the Lord. So chapter 6, we'll go the first few chapters of chapter 6, we'll talk about children. So it has a complete package here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Amen. That's right. For this is right. Now, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said that, look, this is the first commandment we promise. Because the promise was that it may be well with you, and that you may live long. So, children, honor your father and mother. He didn't say, children, honor your father, but disrespect your mother. He didn't say that. Amen. Your father and your mother, the same. I've noticed that in some families, maybe some children, you know, well, they listen to the mom, I mean, or the dad, they don't listen to the mom or whatever, and so on. No. Honor thy father and thy mother. Same, that it may be well with you. Praise the Lord. That's exactly right. And ye fathers, provoke them not to wrath. You know, deal with your children with common sense. Don't be mean to them. I mean, some people are nice to others, but they are mean to their own children. Why is that? Don't provoke them to wrath. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Hallelujah. He even goes on to talk about servants. So he's got a message for everybody. Servants. Well, be ye not the servants of men, you can help me, but if you are working for somebody else, this applies to you. Be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, and so forth. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, and all that, but doing the will of God from your heart. With goodwill, serving the Lord. Knowing that whatsoever good thing a person doeth, he shall receive the same of the law, whether he is free or he is in bonds. Yeah. So, and ye masters, you know, if you are the boss, well, you know, we're not doing slave trade and all those master things anymore these days, but this applies also to bosses and so forth. If you are the boss, you know, do not threaten those who walk under you. Ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also in heaven, and neither is there respect of persons with him. Can you say amen to that? So, I have finished that part. The rest of chapter 6 is for something else. So, let's just leave it like that. And there's something for everybody in that chapter. If I was arranging this chapter, I would have lumped this part in chapter 5. Because we all went together. So, that's why I read through that part. Just like that. So, that's my Ephesians chapter 5. We cut into chapter 6 a little bit because I think the text actually goes with chapter 5. But let me go back now and talk about walking in love and walking in the light. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 12, he said, look, if you follow after me, right, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not do what? He shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, let me explain that a little bit before I go into the walking in love part. What does it mean to walk in the light? Have the light of life. Well, let's read John chapter 11 and verse 10. John 11 verse 10. Now, in the preceding verses, you will see what Jesus is talking about here. Let's pick it up at John, at verse 9. John 11, at verse 9. Jesus said, look, are there not 12 hours in the day? In those days, they used to talk about dawn to dawn, 6 a.m. to 6 a.m., 12 hours in the day. If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. Now, pay attention to this. If you walk during the day, there's daylight, so there's no need of stumbling. There's no need of you tripping over something. Because you can clearly see where you're going. It's daylight. Now, but look at verse 10. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles. But what is the reason why he stumbles? Is it because he cannot see the light around him? Is that what he said? Well, that's what you would have thought. Because he said, if you're walking in the day, you will not stumble because you can see the light around you. But if you are walking in the night, the guy stumbles. You see, any man that's walking in the night, see, he stumbles because there is no light in him, not light around him. That's why he's walking in the night already. If there was light in him, hallelujah, he would never walk in the night. Even if it is night around, you know, the Bible says, look, there will be gross darkness all around, you know, but the glory and the light of God will be upon you. Amen. If you are walking in the light and you are following the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never be walking in the night. You will never be stumbling, but the light is in you. You don't need external light because the light is already in you. Amen. That's a deep subject. I can't go into all of that today, but I am going to explain it this way. Now, let's talk about walking in love and how that works with walking in the light. Praise the Lord. For this, I am going to turn to the book of 1 John. Now, some people have said that this John guy was the apostle of love or whatever, because he wrote a lot about it. So, let me read some of the things that he had to say about it. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, let's go first of all to the book of John. I mean, 1 John. This is the epistle of 1 John, not the gospel, but the epistle of 1 John. So, let's read a few things that he has has to say about this. I'm going to read some verses from chapter 3, and I'm going to read some verses from chapter 4, the book of 1 John, the epistle of 1 John, chapter 3. Let me read from verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Wow. Now that's deep. We love the brethren. That shows that we have passed from death unto life. Amen. That's right. Now, he that loveth not his brother or sister abideth in death. You know, death. They don't have life. They don't love their brother or sister. But they're in death. Now, whosoever hateth his brother or his sister, folks, hearing this message today, you can see it here. Whosoever hated his brother or his sister is a murderer. Now that's point blank calling them out. He's not even saying, well, maybe he's a murderer. No. He is a murderer that hated his brother or hated his sister. And he know. See, this is the thing. How dangerous that is. He know that no murderer had what? Eternal life abiding in him. Are you still with me, folks? You got quiet in here, but it should be quiet. Because this is serious business. You hate your brother, or you hate your sister because of what they did to you in the past. You know, some people say, well, you know, it's hard to forgive. Well, sometimes it borders on hatred. And if you have that hatred in you, then question that eternal life that you claim, that you have. So this is serious. Now, listen to this. You know, he says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now let me jump to chapter 4 and verse 7. I'll just read a few verses here and there. Beloved, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. There's a song that we sing about that, but I don't have time to sing it. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. That's an argument that he's making there. You know, if God is love, and you are not loving people around you, then you haven't known God. Are you still with me, folks? But if you do know God, then the love of God will be in you, and you'll be able to love your brother and your sister, and your husband, or your wife, or your children, or your parents, and etc., and etc. It goes on and on. People around you at work or at school. Now, listen to this. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because he sent, look at what God did. He loved us, and he sent his son into the world that we might live through him. Now, herein is love. Not that we love God, but he loved us first. And he sent his son to be the propitiation. You know, that's the removing, that's the covering of our sin, and so forth. Now, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Amen. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, then we know that God is dwelling in us. And his love is perfected in us. Praise the Lord. If you love one another, that's the proof that God is dwelling in you. Hallelujah. Now, let me just skip to verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now, folks, anybody that's hating their brother or not loving their sister, they cannot have boldness in the day of judgment. Because the Lord is going to, they may be convicted already. Jesus said, look, I have one that judges you, the word that I have spoken to. This word is already going to judge. On the day of judgment, a person that harbored hatred, unforgiveness, bitterness and so forth against their brother and their sister, you know, they won't have boldness. As the Lord is, so are we in this world. So let's be like that. He loved us, so let us also love him. Now, we love him because he first loved us. But look at this argument in verse 20. Look at this argument in 1 John 4:20. If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a... Hello? Well, Jesus, you know what Jesus said about lies? He's a liar. He said the devil is a liar and he's the father of him. He's a liar from the beginning. And no liar had part in the eternal life. But all liars shall be cast into what? The lake of fire. Now, if a man say that I love the Lord, but they can't bring it within themselves to love their brother or their sister, how about hatred? How about wickedness in their heart towards their sister or their brother? That person is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother or sister who you see every day, how can you say you love God whom you have not seen? That's a good argument. Amen? Praise the Lord. You want to know that you love God? Love your brother already. That's how we know it. I mean, one person one time came to Jesus because Jesus told him something. Love your neighbor and so forth. What are the commandments? He asked his disciples and said, well, these two commandments. That's all the law can do. And he said, and he wanted to justify and said, well, okay. Because the Lord told him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy might and all thy strength. This is the first commandment. You know, and he said, the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as what? As thyself. Upon these two things, and all the law and the prophets, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's. All those things, if you love your neighbor as yourself, it's all wrapped up there. So this man wanted to justify himself, said, well, who then is my neighbor? Praise the Lord. The Lord said to me, well, I'll tell you a story. And you can tell me who's neighbor to the person. Such and such a person was going and fell among thieves, and so forth. You know, and this happened and that happened. Well, a priest came along, walked by him. The other one came along, walked by him. A priest is like a pastor, or, you know, minister of God and so forth. He came along, didn't care anything about that poor man that was beaten up by Ambrobas and went on the other side. But this Samaritan, who should not have anything to do with the Jews, came along and saw him and said, oh, wow, that's the story of a good Samaritan. Some of you might know. I don't have time to read him. He said, so he took care of him, bound him up, took him to somewhere. Take care and say, I'll pay the rest, whatever. Just leave my time. When I'm coming back, I'll pay. And then Jesus turned around and said, who then is neighbor to the other man? Yeah? The man said, well, the guy who took care of him. Jesus said, well, you have well spoken. Go and do thou likewise. Amen. So, the story, the moral of that story is this. You know, if you're saying, you know, I love God and so forth, and you can't do simple things and help your brother and your sister, then the love that you claim is vain. Your religion or whatever you claim is vain. Your faith is vain because no liar or murderer has part in eternal life. Now, this is serious, but now, this is the commandment then that we have from him, that whosoever loveth God, well, let me put it this way, whosoever says he loves God, let him also love his brother and his sister. Amen. Love your brother. Love your sister. Forgive them. You know, love covereth a multitude of sins. Praise the Lord. So, that is walking in love. And that's also how you walk in light. Now, time would fail me to really go into the walking in light part. You know, but suffice to know this, that we need to show the love of God truly from our hearts. Praise the Lord. That's right. You know, and just like, you know, just like the scripture in James chapter 2, just like where he was talking about faith and works, well, I can say the same thing. One person will say, well, I have faith. Well, but that person will say, well, you know, I'll show you my faith by my works. I can heal the sick. You know, I show that, you know, I got some faith. But you're just talking about faith. Well, in the same way, let us not just love the word. Amen. Show me your love by your action to your brother and your sister. Amen. Amen. Now, we're not talking about superficial things that doesn't, you know, we're talking about, you know, from the bells, from the bottom, from your bowels of mercies. Let it come from within. Amen. whosoever sins you remit, they are what? They are what? They are remitted unto you. But whosoever sins you hold on to. If you hold on to somebody's thing that they've done to you, then that thing will be hanging on their head and not hanging on your head, because unless you forgive everyone, your brother, truly from your heart, neither will my heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. Now, these things are in the scriptures, but some people don't believe that it is so. Well, little children, let no man deceive you. He that walketh righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Praise the Lord. Now, this concludes our chapter 5 into the first part of chapter 6 of Ephesians. And the next time we pick it up, you know, we're going to talk about the ultimate warning and so forth, how he clads himself, all that in the rest of chapter 6. But that's all for today. Now, remember, two lessons to learn from today. We start out by walking in love. We should walk in love towards everybody. Brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, your boss, your workers. Covers it all. You know, and it gives you various little practical tips about how to do those things. What am I doing here? Well, in the beginning I told you what I was going to tell you, and then I told you, then I'm telling you what I told you. That's how you write your dissertation. So, the summary is walk in love, and then also walk in the light. And if the light of the Lord is in you, you follow in Christ, following his footsteps. Now remember, we are not children of darkness. We are children of the day. Praise the Lord. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord loved us, so we ought also to love one another. And the Lord forgave us our sins. And even hanging upon the cross, say, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. Now you truly, every one of you, pray in your heart when somebody has done something against you. Father, forgive them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now that's the end of that. Let's stand up for a minute and just shout unto the Lord with a voice of praise. Amen. Come on, somebody. Shout unto the Lord with a voice of praise. Put your hands together. Put your hands together. Shout to the Lord with a voice of praise. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. So, that's the message for today. I want us to just pray. And after this, I'm going to take a few minutes before they do the announcements to do something else. But just lift up your hands up. Now, this is a different kind of message. We're not ministering to the sick today. We're not calling out for the prayer line and all that stuff. Be here next week and see what the Lord will do for that. But today, we're bringing that word for the washing of water by the world. Word of God is what cleanses us. And we are trusting in the Lord for the cleansing. So, haven't heard the word of God, let's not be like somebody who looks at the mirror and sees that their face is unclean and do nothing about it. The word of God is supposed to be a mirror to show us where we need to make correction and improvement and fix it. Amen. So let's pray. Lift up your hands and pray. I want everybody, just take a few minutes. We're not going to take very long. Take a few minutes and pray the application of this prayer, I mean of this message I'm teaching for yourself. Pray and say, Lord, help me to truly, you know, love my brother as I love myself. Help me if I'm the wife. If you are the wife in here, pray that you should be submissive to your own husband. And if you're a husband in here, pray that you should love your wife like Christ loved the church, be able to do anything for her. And if you are children in here, pray that God will give you the grace to honor both your father and your mother, and let the parents, especially the father, let them not provoke their children unto anger and so forth or rebellion. You know, if you're working for somebody, pray for grace that you may do the work diligently, not with eye service. And if you're a boss or manager on the job, pray that the Lord will give you the grace also to deal with the others who work for you with respect. Father, we thank you, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for the word of God. The entrance of your word brings light. That light has shone in our hearts this morning. May we walk in the light of it in the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Help us, O Lord, every one of us to have a forgiving heart one towards another. To love our brother truly, every one of us from the bottom of our heart, you know, as the Lord has commanded. These two great commandments, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and then love thy neighbor as thyself. We give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Please be seated.